Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, your station, your community.
But I'm pleased to say we've got Marek Larwood on the line. If you don't know, he's an Isle of Wight-based actor, comedian, he's a YouTube star and stuff like that. So he gets to tell us all about some of that stuff. So shall I bring him in? Hopefully still there. Marek, you with us?
Oh.
Yes.
Hey! What was the silence for? Just to build the tension?
Yeah. That was to throw us off.
Do that again if you want.
Great to speak to you, Marek. So, yeah, like I said, you do a lot of comedic stuff and acting and stuff like that. I don't know, did you want to start off, tell us a bit about where you began all this, and then we'll move on to some of the stuff that you're doing now, some of the projects, so, you know, you're walking, stuff like that. We've even got one of your members of the walking club with us.
Yeah.
What an
honour.
Yeah, I'm cool dude number 493, Marek.
That is how popular the club is.
I've
been a member for years, a couple of years, I expect.
Yeah, well, yes, probably about 3 or 4 years, to be fair, I think.
There you go. Yeah. Just think of what the numbers are in the millions now.
Yes.
That's a difficult admin.
Part of what radio, so it's all going off the chart. viewing figures, listening figures even. Highest ever. Where did it all start? Sandown High School.
Oh,
you were a year above me.
I did plays at Sandown High School. I did drama with many listeners. She went to Sandown High School. Mrs. Lee was my drama teacher. Did you do drama with Mrs. Lee?
Yes, we both had. Yeah, we had both had Mrs. Lee as a teacher, didn't we? Prue Lee.
Yeah, and I saw her in the post office about 2 years ago when I moved back. I've been back on the island about 4 years, and I thought, oh, I've got to say something. She was ahead of me in the queue, and I recognised her voice. I thought, I just want to say something because she was a big influence that led me getting to acting. I said, oh, Mrs. Lee, my name's Marek. I don't know if you remember me, and I don't think she really did. It was a really awkward moment. I think she just wanted to post something. But yeah, never mind.
I was just going to say, she's probably approached by a lot of
people. Oh, she gets it all the time.
Yeah, imagine that. Just thinking, like, all these people. I bet she hated it as well. No one enjoyed going to Sandown High School in the 90s, let alone the teachers. Well, it's bad enough being a student.
I remember it well.
I was there as well at that time. I think it must be a few years behind you. Yeah, I went to Sandown High.
Rub it in that you're a few years behind us. Yeah.
did you like it, Martin?
Alright.
But Martin's a bit weird.
I'm very convinced.
I bet it was alright. It served its purpose as a school.
I went there on Sunday.
Reminiscing about Sadder High School?
I went there on Sunday for a charity day, and they've knocked South Block completely down.
What?
Yes, it's gone.
I still get that weird sense of school-like depression every time I go near the fairway. Listen, must get that. You go near your old school, you get that sense of dread that's so embedded in my psyche.
Yeah.
I can't shift it.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a good time.
Just the misery of the misery of it. There were three buildings. People don't know Sandown High School. It's horrible. It's probably the same at Cowes, all the high schools. Just I was in West Block, which was
science labs.
Yeah, it was almost like it was created for brutalist architects. Just a spawn.
Should we talk about a school and not a prisoner of war camp here, right?
Well, I think. Anyway, I'm sure it's really lovely.
Yes, I expect it is now.
Okay, so after you'd served your time at Sandown High School and they eventually released you from the shackles of depression, how did you take it from there? Where did you go from there?
I think I just always wanted to get into acting and comedy. And what you do is, this is back in, so I just went to university and ended up going to London, and then they do stand-up, this is around 2002, like stand-up comedy courses and things like that, so I signed up for those. I didn't go to drama school, and then you just sort of end up doing these comedy competitions they have, and if you do well in those, you get an agent, and then you get acting work, and I was in a sketch group, and you do the Edinburgh Festival, which is like every year, all the comedians go there, and then a lot of the TV people, I suppose, go there to look at the new talent, and you get work from doing that, so I've just done bits and bobs over the years, bits and bobs of acting. I'm not really sort of personally recognised. I get sort of stopped in Tesco's by people who think they might recognise me, like working in those.
You look familiar. Level you look familiar.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen you at Morrison's. Behind the tills.
I got stopped on the train once by some bloke who insisted that I was a member of the RMT, and which is a transport union, and he's very anti the RMT. And he was quite aggressive with me, and I just tell him, no, you've confused me with something else. And then you have to go through a list of all the things you've been in, and no one knows what they are. And it's exciting.
Well,
you probably get the same thing, Martin, do you?
Well, not very often.
Recognise your voice?
Well, yeah. I use a nuisance caller normally, but but you said it. You know, you're quite casual. In fact, you must have been actually quite successful then in doing these shows and doing these spots. And
we are Clang. I mean, I watched, obviously, and we have to be a bit careful about what we talk about for We Are Clang, but that, you know, that must have been pretty incredible to be part of. It looked like you had a lot of fun actually making each other laugh and trying not to laugh yourselves.
Yeah, so I was in a sketch group. It was three of us in a sketch group. It was me, a guy called Steve Hall, and Greg Davis, who's really famous now, and then we had our own TV show. About 2009, but we didn't get it. We're a live show, first of all. We just didn't get the TV show right. We just sort of it was quite an odd time, actually, because we were making a show, and it was on the BBC, and it was the same time, I don't know if you remember, that Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross phoned up
Who
was Manuel's daughter. That was when we were making it.
Yeah.
And there was a big scandal about the BBC being sort of too rude. And so we had people coming in just cutting like swathes of our show, literally the week we were doing, saying, you can't do that, you can't be too rude. And I think it sort of changed the show a bit. So the final thing we weren't that happy with, really.
Mm.
And so it didn't. But it was good, though. It was an interesting experience. I've sort of been acting in different things over the years. I mean, it sounds quite glamorous for people who don't know about acting, but mainly you're just waiting in a sort of porter cabin to go on and do your lines and sitting around all day. So it's quite odd when you sort of see the glamour of it, and what people think is exciting, but probably one of the most boring jobs in the world.
You're really selling it now.
It's easy, but it is not glamorous and it is quite boring.
Well, no, you make it look easy. I mean, some of the things that you used to do on stage in that show, there's physical comedy in there. There's a lot of having to ad-lib, probably, because things don't go quite as you expect. Not everybody can do that. So I think you do yourself down there, but I guess...
Oh, you're very kind.
Yeah, but since then you did some stand-up, you've done a little bit of film, some acting in different shows. Have you got, like, a preferred genre? Have you got something that you really think...
I would do... anything for cash. Literally a total. I think in my earlier days, I think you start out thinking, I'll do this, I want to do this. And you realise, I think it's a very interesting thing happening with TV now, that people don't really watch TV anymore. I mean, everyone I know who's under 30, they're just on TikTok, on YouTube, and barely watching TV. So It's quite a difficult time for the actual comedy community. And I think I feel sad for younger comics and younger people, because growing up in the 80s and 90s, people who are listening to my age, you have quite a lot of TV on BBC Two, like Mary Whitehouse Experience and Vic and Bob, and new exciting comedians coming through, and lots of sketch shows, things like The Fast Show and Big Train. And now it's all on the internet. There's not really much on TV because people don't consume the media in that way. So
we don't all sit around the telly and then go in the next day and say, oh, did you see Blackadder last night?
Yeah, that was a big thing, wasn't it? Yeah, there was you'd have that. There are not many things so it's changed. The whole habits have changed. So these days, I think a lot of TV actors just do work when it comes up. That's a sort of a brutal reality of it. But yes, whenever it comes, you just unless it's something that is really awful, but I've done some pretty awful jobs in my time.
So now you obviously do quite a lot of YouTube content yourself, and transitioned into doing things like the Cool Dudes Walking Club and other channels as well.
Yeah.
do you walk for health? What did you always walk? What sort of came about? How did it come about that you thought, oh, I'm going to do that as a channel?
Well, because I was worked in acting and comedy, you have all your days free. And being from the Isle of Wight, when I was in London, I really missed. I think growing up here, you don't realise until you leave how much of a bond and a love of the countryside you have. It's sort of ingrained in you, really.
Mm.
So I used to go out. My friend bought me this book one birthday about 16, 17 years ago called Time Out Country Walks. And it was a book. I think they still sell it. They give you, it would be a book of all these train journeys. You get out of London and the whole walking day was planned with a pub in the middle of it. You come back. And I thought it was brilliant. So I started walking once a week. And then I was sort of watching your YouTube videos about walking, and they were even more boring than my videos, which is saying to me. And I think I started to make one when my nan, I was on the Isle of Wight about 5 or 6 years ago, my nan told me that I was putting on weight and I need to do more exercise. So I thought, all right, I'm going to walk around the Isle of Wight. Because I thought, I've lived here, you know, I grew up here, and I've never gone round the whole island. So I spent 5 days walking around the Isle of Wight, which was the first video. But I can thoroughly recommend. Have you done that? Have you walked around the Isle of Wight?
I've never done the whole thing.
I've done the walk the White thing across it, but not actually round it. I've cycled around it a couple of times. But I must admit, I've seen your video about doing that, and it does look quite, some really nice bits. You think, yeah, you sort of take for granted when you live here.
It's incredible. I mean, I've done things like the South Downs Way and the Norfolk Coastal Path, but the variety of the Isle of Wight, the only thing stopping people from doing it is that the bus service is awful, and that's, you have to wait about 2 hours if you get stranded somewhere. But I would thoroughly recommend to anyone who lives here just to walk around the island. If you want to skip a bit, skip the ride to Cowpit, which is mainly just walking.
You're quite adamant that that's the most boring bit, aren't you?
Yeah, basically just walking along a road until you get to Osborne House. But I would thoroughly recommend walking around the Isle of Wight. It's incredible, and there's no one around. You really get a sense of it. I don't think I've had a true sense of how beautiful it was and the whole coastline until I've done that. So, yeah, it's different to walk the Wight. It's just agony, isn't it? That's not an enjoyable
experience. It's quite that second half. I've only done the second half, but that is brutal.
Don't stop at fresh water. That is the key.
Lactic acid in your leg, you've had it. Now, the other thing that I quite like is when you do your antique road trippy type videos.
Trip.
Yeah, you did them. You did it with your dad, don't you? And now you've got Rowan on board.
Yes, and my friend Rowan, who's, some people might know, she's an actress with Spotlight, who do all the Christmas pantos.
Mm-hmm.
On the Isle of Wight, and she persuaded me to start doing it again. The premise is basically a rip-off of Antiques Road Trip. If you go to a charity shop with £10 and you have to spend the whole £10 on 5 or 6 items and then see how much it sells for on eBay. And it is amazing that people literally buy anything.
Such a range of, I'm going to say tat, because we're on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, there's the worst words for it, which are more accurate, yes.
I seem to remember the last one, Rowan was quite confident she was going to win, and then you beat her at the last minute on the last item.
It's almost the worst the item is, the more of a cult item it is, so it's going to sell for more.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get something as awful as possible, or peculiar as possible. But I think the charity shops have caught on. They've started hiking their price a bit. It's hard to get something really awful now. Before, you could pick up things for £1.
Mm.
I don't know what's happened to the world. Look, you can get £2.50 an item, £3 now. Ridiculous.
Oh, inflation, eh? Cost of living crisis.
So what sort of things have you got coming up, Marek? Have you got anything in the pipeline?
I've done a good couple of short films, and then I just carry on making walking videos, so I'm off to the Cotswolds to do some walking videos, and I might try and make some more folklore videos on the Isle of Wight. And one of my most popular videos, which is a big, have you heard, talked about the Sandown Clown yet?
Yes.
We've done that a while ago, didn't we?
Yeah, I've
seen you've got a kind of fascination with that clown.
I'd seen your video, and then they did a replica of the Sandown Clown, which they had at Sandown Airport, and we featured it on the show.
Yeah, the man contacted me.
Oh,
so
did
he? Watched my video, and that's what made him find out about the Sandown Clown.
Ah.
And I went down to the airport with him, and helped him put the Sandown Clown up. And they're doing a talk on, which I can't make, unfortunately, on the Sandown Clown at Bembridge Fort this Saturday, I think it is.
Oh, wow.
And I think there's a brilliant art shop called Boojum & Snark.
Yes,
I can't remember.
Yeah.
On Sandown High Street. Yeah. And they're doing a lot of Sandown Clown-related things. For those of you who don't know, the story is... In the 70s and 80s, everyone was obsessed with UFOs. They didn't be, you know, really into it. And there was a journal called the Befora Journal, which was the British UFO journal. And it would monitor all the sightings of aliens and strange objects in the UK. And in the early 70s, there was a story about two kids who were on holiday, just in a holiday camp near Sandown Airport and around the golf course down that way. And apparently they saw this. They encountered this strange 7-foot clown. That spoke, had three fingers on its hands, and it spoke through a weird radio, and it called itself Sam the Sandown Clown. And there's pictures of it and in there. I never heard of this. I mean, no one I knew who went to Sandown High School, probably you're the... No one
right,
I knew.
Exactly. We were saying what we said about it when you said about it a few months ago. Yeah,
it's like a weird thing that's come about now. And suddenly I made a video where I tried to track down where these kids could have spotted the clown from the notes in this journal, which has become quite popular in sort of circles of people who believe in aliens. and that's the story. So now it's a cult, become a cult thing, which is great for Sandown. I think they should really jump on this.
Yes.
And do more with this Sandown clown thing. Well, it does sound, it is quite terrifying, but So if you
Sandown
want to
Clown Fest.
Yes, there's a few videos online on YouTube if you want to research the Sandown Clown, but I think there's quite a lot going on this summer. If I pronounce it, Boojum & Snark are doing things, so keep your eye out for that. That's a good Isle of Wight based folklore. But there's another book I've been reading about old stories, so hopefully I'll go and research a few of those. I also have done a few walks. You must have had the ghost book. I can't remember the name. What's the name of the writer? She's written...
Gay Baldwin.
Yes,
Gay Baldwin.
About eight books, isn't it? Ghost stories.
It's absolutely incredible. So I've got all those books, and I go through and try and work out the roots of the ghosts. I've done a few Isle of Wight ghost stories, ghost walks in the winter. I mean, most of the ghosts are just in pubs.
That's handy, isn't it?
I mean,
and not surprising in a way.
Yeah. And it's mostly all footsteps people think they've heard. But there's a few good ones in there. So I'll do a few of those walks as well. So, yes.
Well, we'll look
I don't know what your question was. I just rambled on there.
Well, no. It was about what you're doing in the future. So totally relevant. And it's really nice to catch up with you.
Yes, lovely to see you. I mean, this all came from... We're bumping into each other in Tesco.
We did. You were buying strawberry laces.
Oh, you weren't harassing your ex-drama teacher.
Literally everything happens in Tesco. What all the things that have happened from meeting in Tesco, it'd be great. I'm going to do a documentary on that. The hub of the Isle of Wight. Where all the ley lines meet must be in Tesco,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we're all drawn.
Do you know, when you do your YouTube videos, is it just pretty much just you and a camera and you do all the post-production stuff as well?
Yeah, so it takes... You wouldn't believe how long... Watching them, you might think it takes you about a week to do each video. So this was at my side hustle, obviously, when the pandemic hit and everyone was terrified. There was literally no work, so I thought I'm just going to work on making videos. And then it's become... What I use... I use a GoPro, which is incredible now, and it's a microphone. You can walk around with those. And then I just take all the clips, and it takes me about a week to edit, and I put cartoons in them and put the music on and do the sound. Yeah, it's if you look at the videos, you'd be very surprised it takes me a week.
Well, I know with video editing yourself that stuff, you have so much footage to go through and to actually
That's
piece it together.
The final
product is obviously a lot shorter than the time it takes generally to put this stuff together.
And then you make the key rings as well, don't you?
Yeah, well,
How did that happen? How did that happen?
Someone made a sort of mini me and started taking photos of it around places, and I sort of thought, and then everyone I knew started following this Instagram account, which was like a fan thing. I thought, it feels a bit weird that someone how someone else has just taken a version of me.
Yeah.
And is making this, and all my friends are following it, saying, "I didn't know you'd been to this place." I went, "Oh, that's not me." So I thought, what can I do to sort of try and gain my own likeness back? So I started making these Flymo keyrings as a joke, and then I've become relying on it for my income.
You do such a range of them now, don't you? Really,
this
theme
is the
them.
Problem. This is the problem. So people, I basically sort of make, at the end of my videos, it's a bit like the film, I was inspired by the film Amelie, and if you've seen Amelie, where the French film, and in that film, they take the dad's gnome, and they take it all around the world and take photos of this gnome. So I thought it'd be quite nice for people if they had like mini sort of FOMO versions of me, and they could take pictures of it doing things around the country. And at the end of my walking videos, I play the piano really badly, and I put photos that people have sent in of the key rings for about 2 minutes. And it's very tedious if you're not a member.
they do end up in a range of different places, though, don't they? It's surprising.
Yeah.
People do and get so, about.
And I try, and obviously it's the same people who buy the key rings and they collect themselves to try and make different ones. I'm going to be making some red squirrel key rings I've made, and I might make some Terminator key rings this afternoon.
Oh, result. You're winning at life there, Marek.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for allowing us to dip into your world for a little while, because it's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Nice to speak to you.
And obviously, if you get any more projects coming up, we'd be more than happy for you to maybe come in so we can meet you in the flesh. That'd be good.
Yes. Or we could even, record it in Tesco's.
Go for a walk somewhere. Yeah.
We could meet in the strawberry laces aisle at Tesco's.
Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
No. Well, we might get perks out of it. You never know.
Maybe the seasonal aisle is the best one, because that's usually empty. I think that's probably the best.
Yeah. Okay.
The one in between the and I want to know about Tesco's. My one question for Tesco's and for everyone on the Isle of Wight: why is the jam section, the jams and Marmite, next to the dog food, and it just doesn't make sense. I see people every week in Tesco's asking, "Where's the jam? Where's the marmalade?" And it's sort of halfway through the frozen section. What's going on?
Yeah, I think this is an important question that needs
one
to
of
be
the world's many unanswered questions.
Yeah,
this is what the county press should be writing about.
Oh dear, I think you better get onto their editor as soon as possible. Quick, smart. Yeah. She used to be at Sandown High School as well, so it's bound to work out.
Oh yes, yeah. I hope she's listening.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we wanted to check out your stuff, then Marek, where do we go? Is it just on YouTube, Marek Larwood?
Yeah, there's Cool Dudes Walking Club, which is my walks around the Isle of Wight, and then I sort of post general nonsense on my other one, which is just Marek Larwood, Marek Larwood.
And be sure to check out some of his videos. He's having stitches, maybe parental guidance, explicit lyrics.
Yeah.
But great stuff. It's been great to speak to you, Marek. Yeah, hopefully we do get to speak to you again and maybe get you in as well. But yeah, and enjoy making some keyrings.
Have a good afternoon.
And have a nice walk.
See you later.
Nice. Bye. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.